in connection with a description of the passage of the soul after the death of the body, we are introduced into a new subject, that of the existence of certain psychic nerve currents inside us, known as the nadis. There are what are called nadis or nerve currents in our bodies. They exist very subtly in the astral layer of our personality, and they control not only the entire physiological system, but our total personality, affecting even our minds and the breathing process. Those who are versed in the science of Hatha Yoga will know very well the importance of nadis. Such are the nadis, nerves, not physical but superphysical in their essential nature. अथ या एता हृदयस्य नाड्यः ताः पिंगलस्य अनिम्नस्य अनिम्नस्तिष्ठन्ति शुक्लस्य नीलस्य पीतस्य लोहितस्य इति असौ आदित्यः पिंगलः एष शुक्लः एष नीलः एष पीतः एष लोहितः. दीज नर्व करेंट्स आर सपोज टू बी फिल्ड विथ सर्टन सटल juices. They are referred to here as animna, very subtle exudations which control the humors of the body. The point that the Upanishad makes out particularly here is that there is a tremendous connection between the sun and these nerves. It is not that the sun is spatially very far from us. We have a false notion that the stars in the heavens and the sun in the sky are very far, so that they seem to have no connection with us at all here on earth. This is not true. That which exists between the sun and ourselves here is not empty space. It is a vital fluid. It is a living force that connects us with the heavens. And so the ordinary physical notion of the commonplace astronomers that space is not organically connected with the individual has to be given up. In fact, higher aspects of astronomy, going into the realm of astrology, will tell us that space is not a disconnecting element, else there would be no influence of the planets upon us. They exert a tremendous influence, and not merely in a mechanistic manner as the law of gravitation does, but in a very, very living and organic manner. These juices in the nerve currents are of different colors. They are brownish yellow, or white, or blue, or yellow proper, or reddish. These are the types specifically mentioned here, though there can be many other permutations and combinations of these colors, because we cannot actually count the number of these nerve currents in the system. There are thousands, but the principal among them are 101. It is believed, from the standpoint of this section of the Upanishad, that the colors of these nerve forces inside us are due to the influence of the sun upon us. Variegated influences exerted upon us in respect of the constitution of our personality by the rays of the sun. Even if the sun has set, sun influences us. The influence of the sun does not cease merely because it is midnight. It is a tremendous influence exerted upon the whole earth and night and day make no difference for this. When the sun's rays or the effect of the sun in general have an impact upon the bile in our system, these juices become brownish yellow in color. When there is a phlegmatic element mixed with this bile, it is supposed to be whitish in color. When the wind element also is included within it, that means to say when the wind humor is a little more predominant together with this bile, it assumes the blue color. And when there is an equal distribution of the phlegmatic matter and the bile element, it becomes yellow, while the reddish element is due to the preponderance of the red corpuscles in the blood influencing these juices in the system. Now the idea is that the colors of these juices in the nerves are imported, as it were, from the colors in the sun. They are the reflections, as it were, of the sun's rays experienced by us through our own nervous system. So the Upanishad says, these colors are in the sun. Pingalasya animnastishthande shuklasya neelasya peetasya lohitasya. These are the colors in the nervous currents. But what about the causes thereof? Asau adityaha pingalaha esha shuklaha esha neelaha esha peetaha esha lohitaha. These colors, brownish yellow or white or blue or actual yellow or redness, are the colors of the sun's internal structure. You know the sun's rays have colors, and these are responsible for the colors in the juices flowing through the nerve currents. Tad yatha mahapathaha athataha ubhau gramau gacchanti imam cha amum cha evam eva eta adityasya rashmayah ubhau lokau yachanti gacchanti. Just as there can be a highway, a national highway, you can imagine, passing through villages, bifurcating one section of the villages to one side and another to the other side. Likewise, these sun's rays seem to be travelling throughout space, like highways as it were, emanating from the sun on one side, touching the heavens on one side, and influencing the individuals and the whole earth on the other side. Amushmad adityat pratayante ta asunadishu sriptaha. These influences of the sun are like passages or like highways in the entire space. They touch this world and also the other world. They enter even the minutest thing in this world, like X-rays penetrating through objects, and we are not excluded from the influence of these subtle rays of the sun. They penetrate through our nerves, not merely fall on our bodies outside. And having entered the nerves inside us, they get refracted back into space and travel back to the sun, so that they convey a message to the sun, as it were, as to what our predicament is here. So there is a real connection between the sun and ourselves here. The rays are like messengers coming from the sun, conveying to us the message from the sun, taking our message from here and conveying back to the sun, like postman. This kind of work the rays of the sun do, as it were, much more effectively and vitally than the postal department does. Abhyaha nadibhyaha pratayante te avushpin adityaye sriptaha. So we are like brothers, the sun and ourselves here belong to one family. an undivided family, more undivided than even the most undivided of families on earth, because the undivided families have divided members, and the undividedness is only in imagination. Really they are divided. But here the connection is not mere imagination. It is a real interconnection of vital forces in us, in the sun, and everything that is midway also between the sun and ourselves. So we can imagine what connection we have with the atmosphere and the heavens and the stellar system, in spite of our apparently being here unknown on the surface of the earth, which is a misconception in our minds. Tat atra etat suptah samastah samprasannah svapnam navijanati asu tadanadishu sruptah bhavati. It is these nerve currents that are responsible for the withdrawal of the mind into itself in deep sleep. What you call deep sleep, the composure of the mind, the withdrawal of the mind from all sense activity, and the retiring from all dream experience also, where one knows nothing, that experience is brought about by the travel of the various rays of the mind through these nerve currents to the center of the heart, where it lies sleeping, inactive, doing nothing and knowing nothing. So these have some part to play even in the activity called psychic sleep. Kam na kashchana papma sprishati tejasaya tada sampanno bhavati. In the state of deep sleep, we are overpowered by a supernal light. There are various opinions as to what happens in deep sleep. They differ one from the other. One of the theories is that we fall asleep on account of the fatigue of the senses, and consequently the exhaustion of the mind in search for happiness in the world. The other doctrine is that the bilious element in our system gets roused up due to the activity of the sun's rays during the day, and they make us fatigued in a different way altogether and compel us to fall asleep. The third theory is that when the mind goes back to its source, it is overwhelmed by the light of the Atman, and it gets blinded due to the excess of the light of the Atman. This getting blinded is as equal to seeing nothing. It is seeing darkness, as it were, as perhaps when we gaze at the sun for a long time, we see not the brilliance of the sun, but only a pitch darkness. So this is a very strange mystical doctrine of sleep, which tells us that we are confronted by the brilliance of the Atman when we go to sleep, and therefore, on account of there being nothing to see, objectness being withdrawn completely, we fall into a mood of so-called unconsciousness, merely because there is nothing for the senses to work. There is nothing for the mind to think. So when there is nothing to see and nothing to sense and nothing to think, what is our condition? It is a falling back into an oblivion of any kind of experience. Artha yatra etat avalimanam nitah bhavati tam abhitah asina ahur janasimam iti sayavad asma sharirad anutkranto bhavati tavat janati. Now we are introduced into the principal subject of this section. The other points mentioned in connection with these nerves are introductory to the main point that is the theme of this section. That is the departure of the soul after death. When a person becomes weak due to old age and is awaiting impending death, people get anxious about this person's condition. They sit round him, he is about to go, and then they query him, "Do you recognize us? Do you know I am your father? Do you know I am your son? I am so and so related to you. Do you know who I am?" and so on. He is able to reply to these people in a sensible manner as long as the pranas do not depart from the body. As long as the mind is capable of working in a normal fashion in respect of the body. But when the mind is compelled by the pranas to withdraw in itself into its source, well, no sensation, no thought, no recognition whatsoever. Then what happens to that person? Atha yatra etasmat sarirat utkramati atha taire varashvibhi urdhamakramate. The very same rays of the sun about which we have been talking just now, with which we apparently have such an intimate connection, these very rays of the sun become the passage of the soul for the ascent into the higher regions. These rays of the sun are the roads or the path, as it were, of the soul. Then it rises upwards after the departure from this body. This description is in connection with the death of a purified person who is expected to attain liberation by progressive stages, called by the name Krama Mukti, gradual liberation. The person chants Om at the time of death. Sa Omiti Ta Udva Niyati. Everyone will not chant Om, of course. Those who are accustomed to such a practice throughout life, who have led a very disciplined life of spiritual contemplation throughout their career on earth, will be able to recollect this practice at the time of passing, when usually the mind gets confounded due to the action of natural forces. Then, how much time does the soul take to jump into the sun? As much time the mind will take to go to any place. It does not take much time. So, the so-called distance of 93 million miles between the sun and the soul, the individual here, make no distinction to the soul. The mind does not take time at all to reach the sun. Such is the quickness of action with which the soul is taken to the sun through the passage of the rays. Sa yavat tripyen manaha tavad adityam gacchati. The moment you think you are there, so quickly you are taken there. Etad dvayi khalu lokadvaram. This sun is the glorious passage to Brahmaloka, the realm of the Creator. This is the entrance to the glorious immortal abode of Brahma, Vidushaṁ Prabhadanam. And also it is the halting and checking place for the unknowing persons. Virodha Avidushaṁ. Those who do not carry an accepted passport are turned back from the sun. Everyone cannot go there. The knowers go there, the unknowers return. They will not be even allowed to touch that spot. So the sun is a checking ground where there is a filtering of souls, as it were. The purified ones are allowed to go in. The unpurified ones are kicked back to the earth. So he is an entrance to the region of Brahma and also the repelling agent for those who are unprepared for this ascent. In this connection there is a verse, Tadesha Shloka, Shatam Chayakaja Hridayasya Natyah, 101 are the principal nerve currents in this body. Tasa Murtha Namabhirisritaika, one among these 101 moves vertically, as it were, towards the crown of the head. This is usually called the Sushumna Nadi in yogic language. Taya Urdhvamayan Amrutatvameti. If our mind can travel through this central nerve current called the Sushumna, through the crown of the head, we attain to immortality by the passage called Krama Mukti. Taya Urdhvamayan Amrutatvameti. Vishwanganya Utkramane Bhavanti. But if the prana departs not through this central nerve by the crown of the head, but through other orifices in the body, then there is rebirth. It may be in this world or it may be in some other world, lower world, according to the particular passage which the prana seeks at the time of its exit. No liberation is possible unless the movement is through the Sushumna Nadi, not through other nadis. So here, one part of the discussion of this important subject of the Atman in the heart is concluded. Now we are again introduced into another important aspect of this subject. Namely, the stages of consciousness. You may call these the stages of the realization of the Atman, which manifests itself through the conditions known as waking, dream and sleep, a subject which is elaborately discussed in the Mandukya Upanishad. But here it is also discussed in an equally important and interesting manner by means of an analogy and an anecdote which is very famous in the Upanishads, which is towards the end of the 8th chapter of the Chandogya. The anecdote to which we are made to revert is this. It appears on an occasion Prajapati Brahma made a remark. Maybe he was in his assembly hall or whatever the case be. There was an announcement made by Brahma, Prajapati, the creator. He loudly proclaimed something in the presence of all people. All could hear what he spoke. And what did he speak? What was the announcement that he made? That is mentioned here. Ya atma apahata papma vijaro vibhrityur vishopo vijibhatso vipasah satya kamah satya sankalpah sonveshtavyah savijijnasitavyah sasarvamscha lokana proti sarvamscha kaman yastamatmanam anuvidya vijanati tiha prajapatiruvacha. Prajapati made this proclamation in an open assembly. This Atman is free from every kind of evil. It is unaffected by old age or decay of any kind. It has no connection with death. It is free from mortality. Death cannot touch it. It is immortal. It is free from every kind of grief, turmoil, or trouble, as we see in this life. It has no hunger, no thirst. These do not affect it in any manner. Its will is truth-filled. Its wishes are immediately materialized. All the desires arising from here are immediately fulfilled without any limit of space or time. This Atman is to be investigated into. This Atman is to be known. Whoever investigates into this Atman and knows the nature of this Atman attains all the worlds, fulfills all the desires. This is the great benefit accruing to the knowledge of the Atman. Thus did Prajapati make an announcement. Loudly was it told, and everyone heard what was said. Well, the meaning is very clear. It does not require much explanation. What is the content of this proclamation is well known. But it excited the curiosity of many people who heard it. The gods and the demons both heard it in that celestial assembly. The gods hurried themselves back to their homes and held a conference among themselves with Indra as their chief, and that this is what Brahma told us. Such an interesting thing. Whoever knows the Atman has mastery over all the worlds and has the capacity to fulfill every wish or desire, then we must know this Atman. Some of us should be deputed for getting training in the school of Brahma into this mystery of the Atman. So the gods chose Indra, their chief, as a proper deputy. And Indra was sent to Brahma, "You go and have training under him and know this Atman, because he has already made an announcement that if you know it, such wonderful results follow." Similar was the reaction of the asuras or the demons. They also heard this. They went back to their houses and then held a conference and said, "This is a very wonderful thing. You must know this Atman." So they deputed their chief, Virochana, "You go to Brahma and have training in this wisdom of the Atman, so that we too will be benefited by this knowledge as it was proclaimed." So this was the outcome of this announcement. Tat dha ubhaye devasuraha anubhudire teha ujurhanta tam atmanam anvichhamaha yam atmanam anvichya sarvamscha lokana apnoti sarvamscha kaman iti indroha vai devanam abhipravavraja विरोचनः असुराणां तौः असंविदानामेव समित्पाणि प्रजापतिसकाशम् आजग्मतुः. Both Indra and Virochana met each other perhaps on the way, but one did not speak to the other the purpose for which he was travelling. Each one was keeping the idea secretly. They were enemies naturally. Indra and Virochana are deadly enemies. But they did not say anything, as their intention in the mind was something else. They were very preoccupied with the objective for which they were travelling. So both went to Brahma's place and approached Brahma as humble disciples with the sacred offering of Samit. And having gone there, it does not appear that they said anything. From what the Upanishad says, it appears that they stayed there for 32 years without saying anything, observing austerity, controlling their senses, and living a very disciplined life, lived in the abode of Brahma for 32 years, having said nothing either between themselves or to Brahma himself. Tauha dvatrimishatam varshani brahmacharya mushatuh tauha prajapatiruvaja kimichanto ava astamiti. Then after 32 years of this kind of living there, Brahma seems to have observed their stay and asked them, what is the matter with you? Why are you staying here for so many years observing discipline? What do you want? Kivichantau avastamidi tau hochatuhu. Then both of them said the same thing. We are here for some purpose. What is that purpose? Ya atma apahata papma vijaro vimrityuru vishoko vijigatso vibhasa satya kama santri sankalpah सोन्वेष्टव्यासः विजिज्ञासितव्यासः सर्वांश्च लोकानाप्नोति सर्वांश्च कामान्यस्तमात्मानमनुविद्य विजानातीति भगवतः वचः वेदयन्ते तमिच्छन्तौ अवास्तविति. ग्रेट लॉर्ड, वी हैव हर्ड युअर ग्रेट प्रोक्लमेशन. यू मेड एन अनाउंसमेंट दैट द नोयर ऑफ द आत्मन fulfills all desires and has a master over all the worlds, that the Atman is the supreme reality, it is unaffected by pains of any kind. In search of the knowledge of this Atman we have come here. This is the purpose. And for this reason it is that we have been living here for 32 years observing austerity. Oh, that's very good. Inasmuch as they have already undergone some discipline, Brahma did not ask them to undergo any further vow or formality. He immediately gave an instruction, an initiation. You want to know the Atman? Here is this knowledge. He gave a very pithy and precise instruction, which could be interpreted this way or that way, like the Greeks, the Romans shall conquer. No one knows what the meaning is. Tauha prajapati ruvacha ya esho akshini purusho drishyate esha atma. That which you see in your eyes reflected, that is the Atma. He is right in what he said, but it can very easily be misconstrued. What do you see in your eyes? It's very strange thing indeed. This was all the instruction. There was no further explanation whatsoever. That Purusha, the being that you see in your own eyes, that is the Atma. Are you satisfied? I have given you initiation. Esha Atma iti hovacha etadavratam, this is the immortal, etadabhayam, this is the abode of fearlessness, etad brahma, this is the absolute. Atha yaha ayam bhagavo apsu parikshayate yascha ayam adarshe katama esha iti. Immediately the whole instruction was misconstrued by both the disciples, as it was expected, as any one of us would misconstrue it. They understood immediately the reflection in the eye.
You know what is seen in the eye? Some object is seen in the eye, a body is reflected. What can be reflected in the eye except a body? Oh, I see, this is Atman. What is reflected in the eye is the Atman. Then what is reflected in water? That is Atman? Yes. What is reflected in mirror? That is also Atman. They were so happy that the Atman is so easy to reach. So they wanted to get this instruction confirmed by saying what is reflected, seen as reflected in water or seen as reflected in the mirror, that also is Atman. Is it true? Is it so? They queried Brahma and his answer was very simple. He said, Esha u sarveshu anteshu parichayate. It is seen in every kind of reflection. Well, if it is in water, okay, water also. It is reflected everywhere, he said. Very short instruction. And both were very happy. The disciples felt that they knew the Atman. Now we know what the Atman is. Then Brahma said, well, actually, the teacher must have felt a pity for the ignorance of the disciples, who immediately misunderstood the whole teaching and thought that a physical body could be the Atman, because that alone can be reflected in this manner. What else can be reflected? So Brahma said further, Udasharava Atmanam Avechya Yad Atmanaha Navijanitaha Tanme Prabhutam. Please, both of you, look at yourself in a pan of water. And if you cannot understand anything about the Atman, then you tell me. Go and look at yourself in a pan of water and see what is seen there. Do you understand anything from this? Tauha udasharave avechhan chakrate tauha prajapatiruvata vacha kim bhashatha. They went and saw themselves in a pan of water. Then Brahma asked, what do you see? They immediately give an answer. Tau hochatuhu sarvameva idam avam bhagava atmanam vasyavaha alomabhya anakebhya paraturupam. Up to the hair and the nail, everything that we clearly see reflected in this water. This is what we see. We see ourselves exactly. Then Brahma said, Tauha prajapatiruvacha sadhvalankritau suvasanau parishkritau bhutva udasharave avechetham. Now please dress yourself properly. Groom yourself well. Adorn yourself nicely. And then look at yourself once again in the pan of water. What do you see? Then they said, well, we see ourselves well-dressed, well-groomed, well-adorned. This is what we see. Tau ha uchathu yatha eva idam avam bhagavaha sadhalangratau suvasanu parishkratau swaha eva meva imau bhavataha sadhalangratau suvasanu parishkratau iti esha atma disidhatma. Now what Brahma said was highly significant. But the mystery behind the instruction was so deep that it was grossly misunderstood by the disciples. Whatever you see is God. This is generally what we say. It is a true statement, no doubt, but also an untrue statement. So the untrue aspect of it can simply take us astray, but the true aspect of it will of course liberate us from bondage. Everything that we see is God, it is true, but also it is not true for a different reason. So is the instruction of Brahma. What you see in your eyes is Atman, but not as you are likely to interpret my teaching. Esha Atmeti Hovacha Etad Amritam Etad Abhayam Etad Brahma Tauha Shanta Hridayau Pravrajate. This is the Atman, this is the fearless abode, this is the absolute. So they were told about this that they saw as a reflection. Happy and composed in heart, both the students went back, thinking that they have known the Atma. Tauha anvichya prajapatiruvacha anupalabhya atmanam ananuvidya vrajataha yataraha etadupanishadaha bhavishyanti devavasuravate parabhavishyanti. When they had gone out of sight, Prajapati began to speak. What a pity, these students have understood nothing from me. They have mistaken my teaching completely. They are thinking that their own body is the Atma. And if anyone is to consider this body as the Atman and regard it as the real, and teach a doctrine that this material body is the ultimate reality, if this doctrine is to be prevalent in this world, it is not going to succeed. Those who follow this doctrine are going to be defeated everywhere. Parabhavishyanti. Saha shanta hridayah eva virochanah asuran jagama tebhyah ha etam upanishadam provacha atma eva iha mahayah atma parijariyah atmanam eva iha Mahayan Atmanam Parikaran Ubhav Lokav Aproti Imamcha Amumcha Iti. So Virochana went to the demons and said, I have received initiation. Now I know what the Atman is, by which you can control all the worlds and fulfill all our desires. This is itself the Atman, what you see here. This is what Prajapati told us. This body is to be adorned well, taken care of beautifully. It is to be tended well, because that is the reality. There is nothing more real than this body. It is to be protected by any manner available. It is the knowledge of this reality, this Atman, this physical embodiment, that will help us in fulfilling all our desires. The body is an instrument for the fulfillment of desires. And it is through the instrumentality of this body that you have to control all the worlds. This is the doctrine of the crass materialist and the sensualist that the demons had in Virochana. So this was the doctrine of the Asuras. Tasmat api adhyaiha adadanam ashradhanam ayajamanam ahu asurobata iti. So people generally say, here is a demon. When a person has no charitable nature, who has no faith in the super physical realms, who never worships deities above this world, who never performs sacrifices of any kind, who is intensely selfish and self-centered and body-centered, such a person is generally called a demon, usually
in common language. Here is the demon, they say. Asura, bata, iti asuranam hiyeva upanishad. This is the doctrine of the asuras.
Pretasya shariram bhichaya vasanena alankarena iti samskuruvanti.
So these people who think that body is very valuable, adorn even a corpse. They decorate it beautifully. They cover it with silk, gold, etc. and keep it as if it is very valuable, and it is really true that it is the true self of man.
Etena kshamum lokam yashyanta manyante.
People there are even now who think that body has a tremendous validity, and even after death we cannot afford to think that its value is completely gone. This was the conclusion that Virojana arrived at, and all the asuras were taught in unison. The demoniacal doctrine was proclaimed as a consequence of this initiation Virojana received from Brahma in respect of the Atma. This was the fate of Virojana and his followers. Now what happened to Indra? Did he also follow the same doctrine? Poor man, he did not reach home at all. On the halfway itself, he had doubts in the mind. How could this be, he thought. This body is the Atma? That cannot be. Because if what is reflected in the water or reflected anywhere, which is nothing but this body, is the Atma. Then the Atman would be affected by every kind of defect to which the body is subject. So there would be a defective Atman. This cannot be called immortal. This body is subject to death. So when this body goes, the Atman also will go. If the body is the Atman. So where comes fearlessness and immortality and Brahmatva mentioned by the Creator? There seems to be some mistake in my understanding of this teaching. So he had a doubt halfway, and he did not go to the gods communicating this message. He returned immediately.
Athaha Indra apratyaiva devan etad bhayam dadarsha.
He had a great sorrow and fear in his heart.
Yathaiva Hello, I am Asmin Sharire, Sadhalan Krate Hoti, Suvasane, Suvasana, Parishkrate, Parishkrata, Eva Beva, I am Asmin Andho, Andhe Andho Hoti, Srame, Srama, Parivirkane, Parivirkana, Asya Eva Sharirasya, Nasham Anvesha, Nashyati, Namatra Bhogyam Vashyami.
If I am well dressed, the Atman also is well dressed. If the Atman, if the body is blind, the Atman will be blind. If the body is crippled, the Atman also will be crippled. So this is no good. This Atman is no good, he thought within himself. Finally, when the body dies, the Atman also will die. Because this follows as a consequence. If this body is the Atman. So is it a destructible Atman into which I have been initiated? I shall go back to the great master once again and clarify this position. So Indra goes back to Brahma. Then Brahma says, Indra, how is it that you have come back? What is the matter with you? You went happy, contented, satisfied with the knowledge that you gained together with Virojana. Why did you come back now? What is your trouble? What is your difficulty? So Samitpani, again with the humble offering he came to Brahma. So Samitpani, Punareyaya, Tamha Prajapatiruvacha, Maghavan, Shantahardaya, Pravrajihi, Sartham, Virojanena, Kimichan, Punaragamayati. Well, Indra immediately detailed his own doubts. Great Master, how can I regard this body as the Atman? Because it is subject to these defects. The body can become lame, then the Atman will become lame. If the body is blind, the Atman will be blind. If the body has disease, the Atman will have disease. If the body dies, the Atman will die. So what kind of Atman is this? I have great doubts. So I have come to you for clarification. If I have misconstrued your teaching, I am having a knowledge of a perishable Atman. What is the truth about this matter? Please initiate me further. Well, I shall speak to you again, but live here a life of austerity for another 32 years. Afterwards I shall speak, says Brahma. Hari Om Tat Sat.